I'm going to begin a series of messages. It has the potential to go many, many weeks, but we'll see just how long it goes, okay? But I'm quite certain it will be two, likely three or four, and depending on how much extemporaneous information I come up with, it could even go five. I'm looking at Proverbs chapter 26, if you'd like to turn to it. Oh, you want the microphone on. That's a good idea. You know, I saw that it was turned on but muted, and I didn't unmute it so that I didn't end up talking into it when I shouldn't. Fools and being foolish. I'm going to read all 28 verses of Proverbs 26. Verse 1 to 12 indeed has many references to the subject of fools. And then verse 13 to 16 deals with laziness. And verse 17 to 28 deals with tongue and lips. And though, as you know, Proverbs, there are some Proverbs that have more than, you know, there may be several verses that are connected. But many of the Proverbs, it's one proverb in one verse. Not uncommon for there to be two verses that deal with a particular theme. But here, it seems like this whole chapter deals with the matter of fools and foolishness. Even the parts about laziness and the use or improper use of tongue or lips. Well, let me read verse 1 to 12. Eventually, I will be looking at specific verses and explaining them. But tonight's introductory. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now, I know those two verses seem to be saying opposite things, but it's really not difficult. And so that when I get to explaining some verses, we'll cover that one. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. He that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man, now we're into the laziness part. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Now we start the verses that have to do with the tongue and lips. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Don't meddle in other people's business. You may get in trouble you didn't plan on. as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? I'm just kidding. Oh, how many times have people said things, and when somebody's looked at them askance, they said, oh, I'm just kidding. Yeah, they get called out, they got caught. And that's what that's talking about there, when he talks about if somebody's saying, well, I'm just in sport, okay? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. That's profound, isn't it, huh? Mm-hmm. So obvious, so common. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceaseth. It stops. Yeah. You see, if gossipers and talebearers and backbiters would stop, so would strife stop. And so would the dissension. You know, we're concerned about the church. I mean, this is true anywhere. Go down here to the American Legion, and people are, you know, whispering and gossiping. They cause trouble there. Well, that's not nice for them, but I'm concerned about the church. They can take care of themselves, okay? And if people would just like if you stop feeding the fire, it's going to go out. And if people would just stop their tail-bearing and their whispering and all, then the church could be known for what it is, a place of love and friendship and friendliness. Oh, well, let's go on here. I didn't say I was going to preach with these. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. I can't. I got to stop there.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll tell you, talebearers cause real heartache. You know, it's because of talebearers and that type of thing that people will sit on one side of the church and not talk to people on the other side of the church. Why? Because the things that they've said about each other have done just what it says here. They've gone down to the innermost parts.
Right.
Now it says of the belly, that's where the seat of affection was considered to be. Burning lips and a wicked heart. Isn't it something how they put them together? Burning lips, lips out of control. Somebody's saying things they shouldn't. Burning lips and a wicked heart. Some people that can't control their mouth, they think that everything's so fine in their heart. They love people. No, they got a wicked heart.
Come on.
They got a wicked heart. They're like a potsherd covered with silver draws. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. When you know you've got somebody that is not godly, that is not righteous, and you know that they cheat and lie and say all kinds of wrong things, verse 25 says, when they talk fairly, don't believe them. Don't believe them. Because they've got seven abominations in their heart. My wife has often said to me, she said, don't forget, Roger, if they talk to you, this happens to pastors, if they talk to you about somebody, they're probably going to talk to somebody about you.
Oh,
and over and over, she'd say to me, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. You've heard me say so many things that she said and spoken. And I think it helps you to understand why I call her, humorously so, but truthfully so, the Holy Spirit's helper. Okay, because he's guided me many a time through her. I remember one time I went out visiting a home, years ago this was, I went out visiting a home, sat down, and those folks brought something out, and I said, no, I never heard about that. And they said, you didn't? No. And they said, well, your wife didn't tell you? I said, no. She kept me from a lot of trouble.
That's
right. She didn't pass it on.
That's right.
Didn't pass it on. And that way she could tell folks that when they talked to her, she'd keep it to herself and keep it in confidence. And word soon got around. You know, we're talking over, 47 years of ministry, 39, almost 40 at one church. And so we're talking over a long space of time, but the folks got the idea that they were not going to be able to get to me through her.
Good.
Let me give you another illustration. People go, I remember one time some fellow went to her and said, does Pastor know the hand railing going down the back steps is loose? And Pat said, well, who's the deacon in charge of that? Okay. We didn't have deacons and trustees, we had just deacons, and every deacon had a trustee responsibility, just the way that church was set up. She said, well, who's the deacon in charge of that? And he said, I don't know. She said, well, back on the bulletin board, there's a list of them. Find out who's got the basement and tell them. And then she didn't tell me. Didn't tell me. And I remember how the outcome was that, you know, probably I found it and fixed it, but but anyway, she wouldn't tell me. If people wanted something done, they were going to have to tell him. Okay? And now, that was a disjointed illustration, okay, of when they speak fair, believe them not. And so, because they talk about somebody else, they'll talk about to you, they'll talk about you. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Let me read that again. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole, what's that? Congregation. You say, well, who's going to say it? You don't have to say it. It just gets known. A person soon gets a reputation. During World War II, there was a saying that they had in our country, loose lips sink ships. In other words, people were supposed that were in the military were not supposed to be talking about anything, even if it didn't seem to be important. Because there were spies everywhere. I had a situation not long ago where somebody said to me, they started telling me something. They said, well, you know, that's not public knowledge yet. But then they proceeded to say it. Now, you know what that told me? Not what message I was being given, but that told me that person doesn't keep confidence.
Amen.
That person doesn't keep things that are not to be public, private. You see, there's a lot of things that we could say regarding the whole congregation's going to know it, but there's many different ways that happens. And so watch what you say. Don't say things you shouldn't say. You know what your mama told you? If you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything. You say, my mama never told me that. She should have. Okay? And that's true. That's true. You know, some people wouldn't have much to say if they didn't have something to say that wasn't a bit juicy. There's some people that want, they can't make little light conversation and chit-chat. If they don't have something to say about somebody or some, you know, hey, here's something I want you to pray for. Yeah. Man. This is in the notes. This is why I said it depends on what extemporaneous stuff comes. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Now, you see, I just picture this guy rolling this big stone up this hill, okay? And he gets it up to where he thinks he's all right, and then what does it do? Yeah, it rolls back on him. And that's what happens with some things that people say that they ought not to say. They're going to come back to bite them. That's a paraphrase of that. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Yeah. The person who lies, okay, they are afflicting someone, and the lying tongue hates the people they're afflicting, the people they're lying about. They hate them. Think about that. Next time somebody says something to you about somebody and you find out it's not true, or you just know it's not true, that person, according to this verse, actually hates the one they're talking about. I don't remember who the preacher was. And it actually may have been a couple different ones that I've heard of that were like this. They'd be preaching away. And when they knew, if they were preaching like this about lying, and they knew that Sister Henrietta had problem lying, he'd say, "Henrietta, now you know that's you. You know you lie. And you know that you don't tell the truth. And you know what this Bible verse just said about you." Yeah. And the guy's preaching along. Something else comes up, and there sits Henry. "Henry, you know you take things that don't belong to you." Yeah, wow. It's amazing that he had anybody left after about three sermons. I mean, that they'd come back. "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Listen, when you've got a good relationship with somebody, when you have a normal relationship with somebody, you can tell them something good about them that they're doing, have done, about their character. Okay? You can tell. That's not flattery. Flattery is another similar word, probably a synonym in the dictionary. Flattery is buttering people up. You think you'll find that in the synonyms in the dictionary? Probably not. Here's something scary, Dale. You catch a lot of my humor. Think about that now. When your mind functions similar to my mind. Oh, no. But really, flattery, yeah, that'd be scary. Flattery is buttering people up. Flattery is saying nice things, not just to give them a true and sincere compliment. That's good to do. It's good to encourage somebody, to acknowledge their qualities. But boy, when you get to flattering somebody, you're just telling them things, you know, you got an ulterior motive. Somebody who does flattering has an ulterior motive. And believe me, they'll call the chips in at some point. All right, now we just went through Proverbs 26. And here it is, just about time to stop. How about that? Amen. We're going to be in this quite a while. I've got a page and a third on the definition of a fool. So I'm just going to give the first sentence, okay? A fool is a person who is destitute of wisdom or understanding. Okay? They're destitute of wisdom or understanding. Often, the term fool is connected with wickedness. We saw that in several scriptures here, where a fool is connected with wickedness. Now listen, the Bible says that there are some people and they are liars. Does that mean that everybody that tells, I'm going to qualify it, an occasional lie would be defined biblically as a liar? At the time that they're telling the lie, yeah, they're a liar. But not everybody who tells a lie can be defined by what the Bible calls a liar. Have you ever done anything foolish?
Who hasn't?
Yeah, who hasn't? Right. Yeah. That in itself doesn't qualify you by biblical definition of being a fool. Obviously, at that moment you're doing the foolish act, you could be called a fool, but that doesn't mean that you are a fool. Your life is characterized by what the Bible talks about when it talks about a fool. And I'm going to get into that. But I want to say that much at this point, so you don't go away from here being confused and thereby discouraged because of some foolish things you've done. And then you hear me go on and on preaching about fools, reading scriptures about fools, and you think to yourself, good night, there's no hope for me. No, there's hope for us. Even a person who is defined by the Bible as a fool, there is a scripture that I'll show you wherein they can change. Now you say, well, so it means it's okay to tell an occasional lie? No, that's still sin. And saying something foolish is foolish. And it's not wise. But that's one of the reasons I'm going into as long a time of preaching on this as what I'm going to help to understand that distinction as well as other things regarding fools. A woman that is married to a fool. Now, I don't mean to a man who just acts foolishly sometimes. I'm not talking that. But a woman who is married to a man that is a fool, it's just about impossible kind of life because of what the Bible tells about a fool. Okay? So we're going to get into all this. But right now we're going to go to prayer. Okay? Father in heaven, help us as we intercede for the needs of others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh. Either you're right or I'm a jerk.